Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 4th through 10th, and join us for a live broadcast from CPH on Thursday afternoon, November the 5th. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale online and in store, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 4th through 10th.
I'm Presbyterian. Boy, that's down the middle of the road, folks, in all fairness. I mean, Seventh-day Adventist, I don't know about. I just don't know about.
Whether we're more concerned about the adults than about the children, that's a huge question. And the West, the whole West, has decided that we care more about adults than we care about children.
And unfortunately, this is all too common in American evangelical pulpits. They begin with what they believe is plausible sounding, and then they hunt for passages, and then they read their doctrines into them rather than read out what God's Word reveals.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
It was nearly 20 years ago, right around this time of the year, it was right around the time of the celebration of the Reformation, that the Vatican and the Lutheran World Federation, this large conglomeration of liberal Lutherans from across the globe, signed a document called the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. It claimed to have achieved consensus on the central issue of the Reformation. Having solved that problem, they went on to other subjects. And just this week, there's been an announcement from the Lutheran World Federation and from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops that they have been over the last 50 years in dialogue over certain theological issues, and that having reached consensus on justification, they're ready to talk about other things as issues that would no longer divide them, the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans. The document's called Declaration on the Way. It's in anticipation of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Does it represent real agreement between Lutherans and Roman Catholics? We're going to be talking about this document and its hopes for the future. Dr. Al Culver will join us on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this November 4th, and thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours. After Dr. Al Culver joins us, Dr. John Wart Montgomery will join us for a regular series on Christian apologetics. We'll be talking about atheism, and then we'll begin a massive weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University. Over the next 2 years or so, we're going to be talking with him about Martin Luther in depth and the Reformation in depth. We'll begin with who was the real Martin Luther. Join us with your questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use that Issues Etc. comment line anytime, 24-7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a joint declaration by Catholics and Lutherans on church, ministry, and the Lord's Supper, Dr. Al Culver. He's director of church relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he joins us from Ghana. Al, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Both sides here, the Catholics and the Lutherans, seem to believe that some agreement has been reached on the doctrine of justification, the central doctrine at the time of the Lutheran Reformation. Do Catholics and Lutherans really agree on justification?
The very short answer is no. But the foundation, or at least a significant portion of this new document, is based off the belief that they have reached some sort of agreement on the doctrine of justification.
They make reference to the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification from 1998, where they claim to have achieved consensus. My reading of it, and I wonder about yours as well, is that they simply agreed to disagree on the definition of many key terms, like justification, grace, things like that.
I think that's an absolutely correct assessment. The problem with the Joint Declaration is they have differences in language, they have difference in how they explain that language, and they also emphasize how important justification is differently. So, of course, every Christian believes that we're saved by grace. How you receive that grace, or what its central role is for you, that's where there's still disagreement.
What is in it for both sides here? I'm not asking about personal motives, but really just about the general direction of both parties in this proposed agreement between Catholics and Lutherans. From the Catholic side, why do they want to seek a further unity, even if it's at the cost of these definitions, with Lutherans?
Well, I think first, for anyone involved in ecumenical dialogue, there is the genuine, pious desire that the Church should be one. And where there are differences, we should strive to talk, and we should strive to see if it's possible to have union again. So I do believe that that is probably the first motivation. Having said that, I think for Rome, they want to draw the Reformation and the schism that was caused in the West as a painful memory, and they'd like to see the whole Church unified again under Rome.
On the Lutheran side here, and here we're talking about probably the major representative is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and then the Lutheran World Federation and other liberal global Lutheran church bodies. Why do they want a consensus or an agreement with Rome?
Well, I think part of this, again, I think the first motivation is they, too, would like to see the Church be one. I also think there's a sense of increasing their legitimacy. I think that by talking to the Roman Catholics, they feel as if they're maybe more legitimate. And I don't know if that's exactly how they would describe it. I don't really want to put words in their mouth, but they very much want to be recognized as a legitimate church by Rome.
We have seen other ecumenical agreements like this, Dr. Culver, that have been attempted by other church bodies, in particular the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, on a smaller scale. How have those generally gone, other ecumenical agreements that the ELCA has attempted?
Well, in my opinion, most of those documents are compromise documents. So with the various Protestant groups, they, I would say, compromise core positions of the Lutheran Church in order to achieve some sort of unity or fellowship. They agree to disagree on certain aspects of doctrine so they can have a consensus.
I'd like your reaction to something that the ELCA's presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, said at the occasion of the announcement of this agreement between Catholics and Lutherans. She said this, 500 years ago, wars were fought over the very issues about which Lutherans and Roman Catholics have now achieved consensus. Church, ministry, and Eucharist have been areas of disagreement and even separation between our two churches, and we still have to work to do, both theologically and pastorally, as we examine these questions. The declaration is exciting because it shows us 32 important points where we can already say they are not church-dividing issues between us. What does this term, not church-dividing issues, mean?
Well, in some ways, I think for Rome, this is a recognition that there is, in fact, church outside of Rome. And in my opinion, that's perhaps the biggest compromise that Rome has made. For instance, Rome will now say that the ministry of Protestant churches is not a nothing. They'll also say that about the Eucharist. Now, what they will also add is that the Eucharist given in Protestant churches is not the fullness or the complete Eucharist, but they're not willing to say it's a nothing. And I think on Rome's part, that is a capitulation or a change from how we're accustomed to Rome speaking, primarily in the Council of Trent.
Tell us a little bit about the Lutheran World Federation. What is this organization, and is it, in fact, still Lutheran?
Well, the Lutheran World Federation is an entity composed of about 144 Lutheran churches around the world in 77 countries. And they seek churches that are of the Lutheran tradition, although they have stretched that boundary to include not only union churches, but churches that perhaps were not historically Lutheran. But predominantly, they are churches that have some sort of acceptance of the Holy Scripture, that have some sort of subscription to at least the Augsburg Confession. And how operative that Augsburg Confession is, or whether or not it's just a historical document, really depends on the member church. The Lutheran World Federation calls itself a fellowship. It says that all of its members are in fellowship with one another. However, not every member church necessarily considers themselves in fellowship with every other LWF church.
So you have been all around the globe, Al. You have seen these things actually in action on the ground. How does the Lutheran World Federation flex its muscle, so to speak, in places that you have witnessed?
Well, the Lutheran World Federation has a large sum of money. I think their budget is someplace between $80 and $100 million a year. And they do sorts of things like humanitarian aid. They do development grants. They also provide theological education, not necessarily directly, but in the form of scholarships, where they send people from Africa, Latin America, Asia to schools in Chicago or Sweden, Norway, and other places so that people can receive a higher education. And I think it's through the, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. Churches become accustomed to using funds for, legitimate funds for disaster and development, and then also education is very important for Africans and Asians and Latin American countries. So this is a pretty big motivator for churches to try to cooperate and work with the LWF.
Is the clout of the LWF, the Lutheran World Federation, is it increasing or decreasing?
Well, I think in the past several years, their influence has decreased predominantly in the Global South, and that's largely due to the sexuality decisions of the ELCA and the Church of Sweden. And the fact that the LWF tries to leverage its dollars to keep churches that disagree with these positions in the fold of the LWF.
Have you seen church bodies that are breaking their previous relationships with the Lutheran World Federation and reaching out to more confessional Lutheran church bodies?
Well, so far, to my knowledge, no one has left the Lutheran World Federation. However, LWF members have broken fellowship with individual churches within the LWF, such as with the ELCA or with the Church of Sweden. In fact, the Makani Yesus Church in Ethiopia did that just a couple of years ago.
Dr. Al Culver is our guest. He's Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He joins us from Ghana. We're talking about the joint declaration by Catholics and Lutherans on church ministry and the Lord's Supper. More with him after this.
Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person, every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a joint declaration by Catholics and Lutherans on church ministry and the Lord's Supper on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 4th. Dr. Al Culver is our guest, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, can you explain to me, we were talking before the break, why many of the LWF churches have been more and more wary, churches of the Lutheran World Federation, wary of the organization because of issues of human sexuality, things like that, that are tolerated in a lot of the denominations that make it up. Can you explain to me why Rome would want fellowship with churches like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that approve of homosexuality, that ordain women and homosexuals, and deviate from Rome's teaching on just about every point of morality in that respect?
Well, it's interesting that this declaration of unity, or this declaration on the way, as they call it, does not address any of the ethical or moral issues that are, in fact, causing the division. And the document itself says, well, we want to focus not on our differences, but on where we have agreement. And so this is an area that is almost entirely being overlooked by the definition of the dialogue. So the dialogue seeks to avoid the very areas where they know there is disagreement. And I think this is somewhat of a change from how the ecumenical movement began, where they had honest dialogue about differences. Right now, the focus is on where can we look to have agreement. And so they'll say, well, we agree on justification. We agree that we're saved by God's grace. We agree that the ordained ministry is something established by God. Notice that's one of the statements they make. So notice they say that the ordained ministry is ordained by God. They don't necessarily, or Rome doesn't necessarily, recognize the ordination of the Lutherans. So that part is left unsaid. They agree on the Eucharist, that Christ instituted the Eucharist, and that Christ himself is present in the Eucharist. They don't agree on the mode of his presence, and Rome does not necessarily say that the Lutherans actually have the body and blood of Christ. Because for Rome, you can't have the Eucharist if you don't have a legitimate ministry. And that's something that Rome is not quite willing to say the Lutherans have.
So it seems as though the Catholic side of this agreement is at least more principled than that of the Lutheran side. It sounds like these two parties, it sounds like Rome is simply saying, sure, we'd be happy to agree with you where we can agree, as long as we don't discuss these places where we obviously disagree. I wonder whether the Lutherans are reading the situation that way. What do you think?
I wonder that, too. It seems to me that the Lutherans are much more willing to say, see, we have agreement. And Rome is like, well, we do agree on certain aspects of this, but it's really Rome that is putting up the final barrier and saying, no, we can't have communion together. We're not going to have a joint celebration and a church service yet. So I would agree with you that Rome seems to be more principled on this matter.
I wonder, is the goal here for both sides, altar and pulpit fellowship, and is, in your opinion, looking at this, is that a realistic goal? Does that actually have a possibility of occurring?
Well, I do believe that is the ultimate goal, because that would be unity in the church, and that's Rome would like to see that. And I do believe that, again, the ELCA and the LWF would like to see that. I think the reasons are for those two goals are perhaps a little bit different. I think one thing that Rome is noticing is the disintegration of mainstream Protestantism in the West. And perhaps there's a legitimate concern for the souls of people, and that Rome wants to be in dialogue with people in the event that all collapses. You know, people have a place to go. They can come to Rome.
Well, two final questions then. Wouldn't it be a public relations coup that at or near the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, Roman Catholics could declare some kind of fellowship with Lutherans?
Well, it would indeed. I think one of the key components of this Reformation celebration is that it will be known as the Ecumenical Reformation. And you'll see great efforts for joint celebrations. And by that, I don't necessarily mean there will be a joint church service with Eucharist communion fellowship between Lutherans and Roman Catholics. But I think you'll see a number of events and dialogues and discussions to highlight the commonalities that the churches have. And I'm not sure that all of that is a negative. I think there can be some positive things that come out of that as well. But I think the Lutheran World Federation side is going to emphasize more of an agreement than in fact actually exists.
Why can't confessional Lutheran church bodies like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod go along with agreements such as the one we've been discussing?
There's quite a few gaps. The first is there's not really agreement on the gospel. I mean, Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession states that we can tolerate all sorts of customs as long as we agree on what the gospel is and we agree on the administration of the sacraments. And I don't necessarily think that they have come to a fundamental understanding about that. The Roman Church does not recognize that we actually have a full or a valid ministry. Now, they may not deny there's nothing there. They may actually see that some things are carried out. But even the Lutheran Church says things like that. We, of course, recognize that lay people can share the gospel with one another and that sharing of the gospel can create faith. So in one sense, I don't think that what Rome is saying is fundamentally different than what we would even say, that where the gospel, where the word of God is proclaimed, faith is created. And Rome is essentially saying that, yes, in these Protestant communities, the word of God is proclaimed in some fashion, maybe not completely, maybe not fully, but there are believers because the word of God works. And that's what Rome is saying. The confessional Lutherans, we are engaged in an informal dialogue with the Roman Catholics through the International Lutheran Council, and the Roman Catholic Church wants to talk to the International Lutheran Council on the topics of Eucharist and ministry as well. And so we have been a party to some of these dialogues. What's unique about this dialogue is this new document, Declaration on the Way, is really a summary of the last 50 years of the Lutheran World Federation and the Roman Catholic Church's dialogue. So this document in and of itself is not really anything new. It's rather a cherry-picking or a summary of the last 50 years of dialogue, and they released it on the anniversary of 50 years of dialogue. So next year at the 500th anniversary, I don't know if there will be a new document. Perhaps there will. But again, it will highlight where they agree, such as we all agree there must be an ordained pastorate. We all agree that Christ instituted the sacrament. We all agree that we're saved by grace. If you're Christian, you virtually have to agree in those areas. The devil is actually in the details.
Finally, then, as you travel the globe, are you finding churches that are reaching out to confessional Lutheran church bodies like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? If so, give us some examples.
Well, one of the large examples is the Makana Yesus Church in Ethiopia. They have reached out to the Missouri Synod because of our scriptural standpoint. Again, that doesn't mean that we don't have altar and pulpit fellowship at this time, but they respect and they want to be affiliated with a church that confesses the scriptures and that holds to the Lutheran confessions. Some of these churches they don't have the complete Book of Concord, or it's not been something that's been emphasized or taught. So for them, it's a discovery process, and they see that the Missouri Synod and the International Lutheran Council are churches that can help them discover that. Another church is the Lutheran Church in Madagascar. That's almost a 5 million member church. They too are very interested in coming closer to the Missouri Synod. You have certain dioceses in Tanzania, and there I mentioned the three largest Lutheran churches in the world. The Makana Yesus is about 8 million, and the Tanzanian church is about 6.5 million, and the Malagasy Lutheran church is about 5 million. So right there you have the three largest Lutheran churches. And then we even have smaller churches like the Lutheran Church in Ukraine. This church is affiliated with the LWF, and their bishop trained in the Russian project at Fort Wayne 20 years ago. And now he's saying, well, we can't go along with these churches of the Lutheran World Federation, where they don't accept the scriptures and where they disagree with the scriptural, moral, and ethical positions.
Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks a lot, Todd.
Folks, you still have 6 days left to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club and receive the brand new Here I Stand t-shirt, in addition to other membership premiums that you get. Now, if you join our monthly or annual giving program by November the 10th, Martin Luther's birthday, we'll send you this new long sleeve t-shirt. On the front, instead of I Have Issues, it has Here I Stand. It on the back, it has our logo and our website, and in addition, our tagline, Real Reformation Radio. And then on the left sleeve, Luther's seal and the dates, the anniversary dates of the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Find out more by clicking the Here I Stand shirt at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, it's part 8 of our weekly series on Christian apologetics with Dr. John Warrett Montgomery. Today we'll take up the counterclaim of atheism, that there is no God. Stay tuned.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and to receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.